Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the universe, who has given us the Torah of truth and planted everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehovah, giver of the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the light of the world. Amen. Very interesting. We'll find that more often as we read Devarim, that we go back and learn and get, it's like revisiting the Torah, and it's revisiting different sections that, you know, really puts into our mind, you know, the fact that what we learned in Exodus and Genesis and Leviticus is being emphasized again in Deuteronomy. Yah does this to make sure we get the message. You know, any good teacher will go back and revisit something to make sure that someone has learnt it properly. And that's how I see Devarim, is going back and revisiting what has already been spoken about so that we can learn it properly. So let us pray. Abba Father, I just thank you for the word that you've given me today. And I pray that you will just open the hearts of those who are receiving it, that they can take what they want and let go of the rest. And may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable to you, because you are Yehovah, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So today I'm taking the message. I was inspired by our reading from Yaakov. And when I read Yaakov, just in the first two verses, verses 7 and 8, it's really shows us how much Yah has a heart for the harvest. And he's not just the harvest of the grain or the crops, but he's talking about people. He has a harvest of people. So let us go to James 2 and let's see what it says, James 5 and see what it says in verses 7 and 8. So brothers, be patient until your Adonai returns. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. He is patient over it until he receives the fall and spring rains. You too be patient. Keep up your courage, for Adonai's return is near. Now Adonai, in both verses, Adonai's return in the Hebrew text actually says Ha Adon, and is referring to Yeshua, our Lord and Savior. So sometimes you'll see Adonai written, and it's, you look at it in the Hebrew, it's Yehovah. Sometimes you see it, it's Elohim. Sometimes you see it, and as this time, Adonai, in capital like Yehovah, but it's actually Ha-Adon, the Lord. Ha-Adon is the Lord, or the Lord and Master. Okay, so that's speaking about Yeshua, which is different to Baal, which is the Lord or the husband of a wife, or the Lord and Master that we work for. That is Baal. So in the Hebrew, there's different words for different meanings of the same word. So when we put these scriptures into the era into which they were written, what is the message that Yaakov, the brother of Yeshua, and the leader of the believers in Jerusalem at the time, was trying to get across? Well, maybe it's something like this. Meanwhile, friends, wait patiently for Yeshua's arrival. You see, farmers do this all the time, waiting for their valuable crop to mature, patiently letting the rain do its slow but sure work. And be patient like that. Stay steady and strong, because Yeshua could arrive any time. In Yaakov's day, in Yehuda's day, they were expecting Yeshua to return. 2,000 plus years later, Yehovah, our Lord, our Adonai, is still faithful, and he is still patient, and he is still waiting for us to get to the point where he can send Yeshua. 2,000 plus years later. when you're reading the scriptures each day, are you asking Yah, what message do you want me to receive from this scripture? What message are you going to give me for today? Because your reading each day should be something to help you get through the day. It should be something to answer a question that you have. The more that you read and ask him these types of questions, the more he will reveal himself and his intentions for you, to you. But he won't do it if you don't ask. I'm sure you've all heard, Jehovah is a gentleman, he won't step in when he's not asked. We have to have a relationship with him for him to, and ask him the questions. We can't tell him what we want. We ask for what we need. We can't demand that he gives it now. We have to wait patiently for him to give us what he believes we need for a specific day. The believers of Yaakov's day were eager for the return of Yeshua, as most of us are to this very day. They lived in difficult and desperate times under the Romans, and their hopes were fixed upon Yeshua's sudden reappearing. The people were so impatient for him to come that Yaakov wrote to them, encouraging them to be patient until he comes. In their impatience, they were overlooking Yehovah's purpose. While they were waiting for Yeshua's return, Yehovah was waiting for the harvest. And as I said, I'm afraid he is still waiting. Yaakov pictures him as a farmer who has put a great deal of labour into his crop and waiting for the harvest to mature. These words of Yaakov's make it clear that the coming of Yeshua is imminent to them. Yaakov also wanted it to be perfectly understood that it was Yehovah's purpose until he comes is to gather a harvest of redeemed men and women from every people, nation and tongue. Yehovah is at work now by his Ruach HaKodesh, his Holy Spirit, gathering a redeemed multitude that no man can number. The problem is that we can't see it. In fact, our world is in such decadence, one has to wonder if its salvation is even possible. But we do know that with Yehovah, nothing is impossible. With what has happened in the last 2.5 years, the number of people that can be pure for the harvest has diminished. The number of people or sheeple that follow the wrong shepherd are being led up a garden path. And there's no way, if they have changed DNA, that they can enter the kingdom. It was Yehovah's intent, through the instructions of Yeshua, for the good news of shalom, peace and hope, to be preached to all the world so that the harvest might be gathered. And in the book of Matityahu, Yeshua sets the timetable for his return by the preaching of the gospel or the good news. In Matityahu 24:14, it says, "This good news about the kingdom will be announced throughout the whole world as a witness to all the goyim, all the nations. It is then that the end will come." People keep thinking, oh, well, there's this lost tribe here and this lost tribe here, so he can't come. Yehovah can speak to lost tribes. He can speak to anybody. He spoke to Abraham when his father was an idol worshipper and a maker of idols. He can speak to people in lost tribes. It doesn't mean need people to go and find them. Kepha tells us in Kepha Beit or 2 Peter 3:9, Yehovah is not slow in keeping his promise, as some people think of slowness. On the contrary, he is patient with you, for it is not his remember what's happening. For it is not his purpose that anyone should be destroyed, but that everyone should turn from his sins. I think one of the most important things that we need to remember is that Yah is longing to complete the harvest and to gather unto himself at Yeshua's return. He is moving upon the hearts of men, women, to woo and win them unto himself this very day. And to me, this is very evident by the number who are called to observing his mitzvot on Shabbat, who are Shabbat worshipping, and those who want to be obedient to his Torah. This is increasing, but it is a long way ready for the harvest. You see, there are still many believers out there in the world that need a revelation of Shabbat or Sabbath worship and a Hebrew mindset. They need to get out of the Roman or Greek mindset that has been instilled into so many people. Because we know that the fourth commandment is honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. And unless everyone is doing that, the harvest isn't ready. The passion of Yehovah for the harvest is shown through the interest of Yah into the fullness of the harvest as it's revealed in the world's wait for the precious fruit of the earth, which Yaakov said in Yaakov 5:7. The word wait means to stop, pause, expect or look for. The heart of Yah yearns for the harvest of a gathering of men and women brought by the precious blood of Yeshua. Yehovah is not willing that any should perish. We all know that. We read it in scripture all the time. He longs to save all men and women through faith in his only begotten Son, Adonai Yeshua HaMashiach. He sends his Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to convict individuals of their sins and to transform them through his saving grace. He doesn't need us to do it. He can do it himself. And many people have come into the kingdom just by getting down on their knees or calling out to Yah and asking him to show them that he is real. And he has done it many, many times. The earnest desire of Yehovah's heart is to rescue the lost from the bondage of Hasatan. But he can't rescue the lost if the lost don't want to be rescued. They also have to call out to him. In the midst of all the decay and deceit in the world today, and in many confessing believers, Yah is at work completing the harvest. It began on the day of Shavuot or Pentecost over 2,000 years ago. He is patiently waiting for the grain to ripen, which signifies that the crop is ready to be gathered. Could you ever see a farmer waiting for that length of time? I don't think so. I think they'd have dug up the crop, buried it and said, let's start again before that. Crop would have been destroyed because it would have been deemed hopeless and completely useless. Yeshua doesn't see any person as hopeless or useless. Yehovah doesn't see any person as hopeless or useless. Yeshua gave us a perfect illustration of the heart of Yehovah for the harvest, and he expressed the burden of the Father for souls when Yeshua led the woman of Shomron from the empty pots of her immorality to the wells of living water. The Talmudim weren't there at the time. They had gone into town to buy food. But when they returned with the food, Yeshua refused to eat, saying, according to Yochanan 4 and verse 32, I have food to eat that you don't know about. The Talmudim were amazed. They thought someone had bought him food in their absence. Yeshua assured them that he was talking about spiritual food, not natural food. And in Yochanan 4:34, Yeshua said to them, My food is to do what the one who sent me wants and to bring his work to completion. Then Yeshua makes the will of his Father very clear to us in the very next verse. The will and the work of Yehovah is the harvest of lost people like the woman of Shomron. He challenged his Talmudim, and he challenges us today to do this. In Yochanan John 4:35, it says, "Don't you have a saying, 4 more months and then the harvest? Well, what I say to you is this, open your eyes and look at the fields. They're already ripe for harvest." The time of harvest is now, and Yehovah's heart is for the harvest. Our harvest here at Beit Gan Eden is different from that of mainstream believers or mainstream churches. Our harvest is for all who come to faith in Yeshua HaMashiach, no matter what their former denomination, but also to come to a complete obedience to Torah and Yehovah's mitzvot as applicable to the individual person. As you know, Torah differs depending on if you're a male or a female. If you're married, yes, there is only binary, Tony 2, male or female. If you're single or married, if you're widowed or divorced, if you are a child, each has different mitzvot to observe. And so it can only be applicable to you. The mitzvot for Kohanim was never applicable to Yeshua because he was never a Kohanim. The mitzvot of the Levite was never applicable to Yeshua because he was not a Leviim. You see, he did everything that was applicable to him, and he was our example. This application is absent from mainline churches. That is, honouring Shabbat, the Sabbath, eating according to Vayikra, Leviticus 11, and observing the Hebrew festivals to the best of our ability. These have never been done away with, they never will be done away with, and we must do them each to our best each year. We can only do the best we can do. We can't do them perfectly. There's no temple. They can't even do them perfectly in the Holy Land because there's no temple. So we can commemorate them and remember them and to observe them to the best of our ability. All confessed believers need to come to the acknowledgement of these observances because that's what Yeshua taught. That's what Yeshua is and Yehovah is waiting for. That's the harvest. Not just accepting Yeshua as your Messiah and then going on and living your life of debauchery and living as if you'd never made, as if nothing changed. Things must change. We must become new creations. And they can only do that by being observant to his word. Yeshua also declared in Matityahu chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. Then he said to his Talmudim, "The harvest is rich, but the workers are few. Pray that the Lord," that is the master in Hebrew, Habaal, "of the harvest will send out workers to gather in this harvest, in his harvest." Yeshua has a heart for the lost, and no one can sense the same compassion of Elohim for lost men and women in the three parables that Yeshua told in Luke chapter 15. In Luke, I'm not going to go through there and read the three of them, but you all know the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son, or the lost son. All three convey one message. Lost people matter. Lost people do not include believers who sin by knowingly doing the wrong thing. These people know what is written in the Torah, but they refuse to obey it. The lost refers to those who have not heard of the saving grace of Yehovah through his son Yeshua. The Pharisees had a list of people who mattered most to Elohim, but their list certainly did not include prodigals, prostitutes, and publicans. Yehovah will mount an all-out effort to rescue the lost from destruction. As a believer, each of us must identify with the passion of Yehovah's heart for the harvest. We must become like King David, people after Elohim's own heart. We must see the fields ripe for harvest as he sees them. And we must yearn with the same Ruach HaKodesh anointed passion to see the harvest completed. I don't know about you, but I believe we are in end times. I'm not going to predict the day. Never will. We can never put a date and a time on it. Only the Father knows that. But this is why our prayers for our country, our city and our leaders are most important now, and why I include it in our prayers every Shabbat. We know these leaders are from the synagogue of Hasatan, and they have led many people into a path of following like sheep to be slaughtered. They overrule governments, the overrule of governments in the past 2.5 years that we've learned with the extra portfolios of the previous Prime Minister, with the agreement of the Governor General, with no record of it ever being found, shows that how far from Yehovah our country has become. That Prime Minister declared himself to be a born-again believer. But he did the wrong thing by so many people. The woke of this world is full of debauchery. Our children and grandchildren are being left feeling helpless and hopeless because of the mindset and lies of our world situation, especially with climate change. And my soul weeps for the children so often. I literally weep for them because they have been misled. They have been told lie after lie after lie, that they think that our whole world is so hopeless that there's going to be nothing left for them by the time they turn 50. That is disgusting for a child to be raised and to think that this is what our world is. They've got no hope. They've got nothing because they don't live in families with hope, and they're being taught lies. Our world is the best it's been. There's no global warming. There's no rise in sea levels. There's plenty of ice on Tracy's Arm Glacier up in Alaska. Yes, you see it tumbling into the sea, but that's because a glacier moves. It's natural for a glacier to move and to tumble into the ocean when that bit tumbles in. But it's still growing. We need to weep over the cities as Yeshua wept over Yerushalayim. We need to weep over our children, that someone will be able to speak to them and bring them into the kingdom. We need a heart broken like Shaul for his fellow Yehudim when he cried in Romans 9, 2 and 3. He said, "My grief is so great, the pain in my heart so constant, that I could wish myself actually under a curse and separated from the Messiah, if it would help my brothers, my own flesh and blood." You know, I know how he feels. I know how that felt when he wrote that. What we have to realize here is that Shaul is speaking as a Jew. He's speaking as a confessed Purush or Pharisee. He is speaking of his own people, the Pharisees who've been brought up in the ways of the Torah. They already know Torah, but they need to know Yeshua and his saving grace. But they also need to know that their harvest is different. Our harvest is also different in that sense that there are many who know Yeshua, but will... Excuse me. I'll try again. Our harvest is different in the sense that there are many who know Yeshua. Well, not in the true sense of the word, they know him as Jesus. And they have absolutely no knowledge of Torah and Yehovah's mitzvot. The farmer from our scripture in Yaakov today waits for the harvest. He knows that something must happen to ripen the grain. The rain must fall or the grain will not ripen, because the grain will not mature enough to be able to allow the sun to ripen it. Yaakov took a lesson from Israel's farming pattern with its early and its latter rain to teach a powerful truth about spiritual rain. In Israel, it rains mainly in the winter. They start praying for rain in October, and the latter rain, which is necessary for the harvest, is the spring rain. So that the first rain, the early rain, is in winter, rains all through winter, and then comes to spring is when you get your latter rain. And this rain usually comes about April and May. And Yaakov pointed out that there must be latter rain of the Ruach HaKodesh to ripen the spiritual crop for harvest at Shavuot. Shavuot was the festival of harvest. Let us go to Acts 17:17-18, where Kepha stated the same truth when he quoted Yoel on the day of Shavuot, which is a spring festival in Israel. In Acts 2:17-18, it says, Elohim says, in the last days I will pour out my Ruach upon everyone. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my slaves, both men and women, will I pour out my Ruach. In those days they will prophesy. There will be a full harvest. There must be a mighty outpouring of the Ruach HaKodesh as the latter or spring rain happens for the harvest to occur. There can be no harvest of souls without the rain of the Ruach of Elohim. We have to be immersed in the Ruach of Elohim. All of our preaching, our teaching and witnessing will not accomplish anything unless our efforts are watered by the showers of Shavuot. Only the Ruach HaKodesh can melt the heart of the sinner and bring him or her into repentance and faith in Yeshua HaMashiach, plus observance of his Torah. We must have the rain. We need to pray for the Ruachal rain to pour down on this city, or on the city that you live in if you're not living on the Gold Coast. If our hearts are touched for the harvest, then we must become intercessors for the gracious outpouring of the Ruach HaKodesh. We must pray for spiritual rain. It is the Ruach HaKodesh that convicts the sinner, and it is also the Ruach HaKodesh that can turn the hearts of believers to become Torah observant. The return of Yeshua and the harvest cannot take place unless the believers also become Torah observant and the Torah observant become believers. There are many thinking themselves as Torah observant out there, but they certainly don't believe in Yeshua. So let us go to Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. There is a beautiful statement, I believe, by Zechariah, which ought to encourage us in our intercession for the reign of the Ruach, that contains both a petition and a promise. Zechariah says, ask Yehovah for rain in the spring, Yehovah who makes the rain clouds, and he will give them showers of rain, grass in the field, to each one. A genuine burden for the harvest will cause us to ask Yah for rain. The latter rain is what's needed for the harvest. Prayer is necessary for harvest. The people were seeking Yehovah for rain, and he answered their prayers. Have any of you considered meeting with others in your sphere of influence to pray for a mighty visitation of the Ruach in your area? Many of you live many miles from here, but I'm sure there is somewhere, someone close to you that you can meet with once a week, once a fortnight, to pray and pray for rain. We can pray for the rain to fall on your field of labour, and that is for Torah observant believers. We pray for rain to fall on your suburb, your town, or your city. We need to pray for rain until the Ruach HaKodesh is poured out on every field and that they are ready to be harvested. We need to pray that the knowledge and assurance that the master of the harvest and assurance that the master of the harvest has promised to answer. He will make clouds and give showers of rain. And it's got nothing to do with the man-made seeded chemtrails that go up into the skies at the moment. We need spiritual rain. We need rain that will cause people to make teshuvah. That's that 180-degree turn away from the debauchery of the way they are living and turning towards Yehovah and his mitzvot. If we pray for Ruach or rain from the depths of our hearts, Yehovah will hear and answer our prayers. He will rain upon our lives. He will pour out his Ruach upon our field of labour. He will send showers upon our community. And I believe it. We have been given the promise of Yeshua's return. Yehovah longs to finish the work and gather the great harvest into the heavenly realms. As soon as the grain is ripe, he will pull out the sickle because the harvest has come. Nothing will keep him from gathering his harvest. He will not leave a single golden grain fall to the ground. We're reading the very beginning of this message in Yaakov James 5:8. You too, be patient. Keep your courage, for Yehovah's Adonai's return is near. As I said in the beginning, Adonai in Hebrew is Ha'adon, or the Lord's return is near. They believed it back in the first century that he was returning, and we are still waiting in the 21st century. Kepha declared in Kepha Bet 2 Peter 3, 9-10, Yehovah is not slow in keeping his promise, as some people think of slowness. On the contrary, he is patient with you, for it is not his purpose that anyone should be destroyed, but that everyone should turn from his sins. However, the day of Yehovah will come like a thief. We have to be ready. We never know when he will come. Just like Tanah never knew when the thief was coming to his car, so will we never know when the thief is coming to destroy this world. When the harvest is ready, Yehovah will gather that great multitude of blood-washed souls that have been bought and observe Torah. Men and women he will bring into his kingdom. He doesn't actually say how he will gather his harvest, but what a harvest it will be. From the north, south, east and west, Yehovah will gather his redeemed saints. Those who are in the grave will get up, shake off their grave clothes of death and join the living saints. Yochanan, when he was on the land of Patmos, was given a vision of the greatness of the harvest and left for us a picture that excites our imagination. He describes scenes in heaven filled with redeemed saints of Elohim. They are not angels. They are men and women who have been through a great tribulation and now stand in the presence of Elohim. I believe we've been in great tribulation in the last 2.5 years. It may get worse. They're trying to make it worse through the World Economic Forum. But we will survive no matter what the tribulation is. In Revelation 5, 9 to 12, it says, they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals because you were slaughtered. At the cost of blood, you ransomed for Elohim persons from every tribe, language, people and nation. You made them into a kingdom for Elohim to rule, Kohanim to serve him, and they will rule over the earth. Then I looked and I heard the sound of a vast number of angels, thousands and thousands, millions and millions. They were all around the throne, the living beings and the elders, and they shouted out, "Worthy is the slaughtered lamb to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honour, glory and praise." And also in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, it says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a huge crowd, too large for anyone to count. From every nation, tribe, people and language, they were standing in front of the throne and in front of the Lamb, dressed in white robes, holding palm branches in their hands. And they shouted, 'Victory to our Elohim, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.'" I can't speak for you, but I want to be there when Yehovah gathers his harvest. It'll be the greatest harvest day of the ages. We will be able to worship Yehovah and the Lamb, his son Yeshua. But how will we do it? I truly don't know, because it hasn't happened yet. But what I do know is I do not want to miss it, and I don't want to be there empty-handed. King David puts it beautifully in Tehillim Psalms 126 verse 6. He says, "He who goes out weeping as he carries his sack of seed will come home with cries of joy as he carries his sheaves of grain." You can only have sheaves of grain if you've already sown your seed. I am believing I will have sheaves that day. But my number of sheaves will only be commensurate with the number of seeds that I have sown here on this earth in my lifetime. If we have a heart for the harvest, may Yehovah give us a heart of passion for the lost, remembering that the lost can be without Yeshua, or be with Yeshua and without Torah. They can also be with Torah but without Yeshua. Having a heart of prayer for spiritual rain to be poured on the lost, and a heart of expectancy for the return of Yeshua HaMashiach. That's my message for today. Has anyone got any questions? Jacqueline has? Nope. Okay, so let us get a heart for prayer. Your prayer life at home is really important. Whenever you meet together, even for a cup of coffee, spend some time having a little bit of prayer for the people within the cafe that you're in. Pray for those that are lost. You've got no idea who you can come across or where you are that you can be of some help to somewhere, or you can cause that latter rain to fall on someone that you don't expect. So let us move on. Oops.
Just a testimony about prayer.
Sorry, I can't hear.
Just a testimony about prayer. Whenever Jack and I like go out anywhere, even if it's for a coffee, like something small to eat, we always stop and pray, like bow our heads and pray, like around the table, even in the cafes. Like,
yep.
And I remember one time we were away, and this guy came up to us and was just, he thanked us for our open sign of faith, and it sort of renewed his faith a bit, just by praying over our own food. And it's just those small little things that can make a big difference to the kingdom, I think.
Not only that, the staff appreciate it. If you're praying, and Malachi and I have found it over the years quite a lot, we've always prayed before we've eaten. And we might be praying and all of a sudden a waiter or someone comes and they'll just stand back and they'll wait until we've finished, and then they'll come to us. And they do appreciate it, because they know that their place is being blessed, even if it's not a place that worships Yah. You know, but they still appreciate it. Don't be afraid to show your faith. Don't be afraid, because that's what man wants you to be. Man wants you to be afraid. Be bold. Be strong. Because you've got Yeshua HaMashiach. You've got Yehovah. No weapon formed against you will ever prosper. They might try, they won't succeed.